Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, He daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, He will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. How many friendships have been destroyed because one friend does not agree with the spouse that the other friend chooses? And so the friendship dries up, evaporates, because one friend cannot tolerate his other friend's wife. If you don't accept the wife, you can't have the friendship anymore. The two become one flesh, and the two friends are alienated because one guy doesn't like the other's wife. How often have you heard, "I love Jesus, but not His church"? The church is the bride of the Lord Jesus. And you cannot like Jesus but dislike His bride, for whom He died, by whose blood she is made, or by His blood she is made clean and pure, without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. You can't suppose to like Jesus and also trash His spouse, His bride, the church. The church is the creation of the Holy Spirit. At Pentecost, the Spirit descends on these 12 apostles, and they, with united voice, but proclaiming in all the languages of the people there gathered, inaugurate this birthday of the Lord's bride, His church. She is assembled out of these Jews who have gathered in Jerusalem for this feast of Pentecost, and out of this wide assortment of previous unbelievers in Jesus, the Holy Spirit miraculously creates a church, a bride for the Lord Jesus. All these elect, who, though Peter preaches them into hell for what they've done, "You crucified the Lord, but God raised Him up," when they are cut to the heart by the work of the Holy Spirit, Peter tells them what will be their entrance into the Lord's church. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins." So, what you said the Holy Spirit does for you last week in the first part and the meaning of the third article, I believe I cannot believe, but the Holy Spirit does for you what you can't do for yourself. He gives to you the precious gift of faith, whereby you trust in the Lord fully and completely for forgiveness. He has called you by the gospel, enlightened you with His gifts, sanctified and kept you in the true faith. And what He does for you, He does for the whole church. Throughout space, throughout the whole world, and throughout time, the church's existence is due to the work of the Holy Spirit, who always is active where the word is heard, of which St. Paul says, "Faith comes by hearing." He calls you by the gospel. He enlightens you with His gifts, with His word and His sacraments. and not just you, but the whole church. Some people ask or assert that you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, do you? Simply, yes. It is the church that the Spirit keeps with Jesus Christ. We don't mean, of course, that you have to go to a building, right? We speak of the church in two ways. We speak of her, how she is visible, and she is visible where you see her identifying marks. That is, the gospel rightly proclaimed and the sacraments rightly administered. You can see those, well, you can hear the word, you can see the sacraments rightly administered. Those are the visible marks of the church. But that doesn't tell you of whom she is comprised. That's the invisible part of the church. You can't see into the heart of another person and know whether he really possesses the Lord's gift of faith or is just a rogue, a scoundrel, a hypocrite pretending to be numbered among the Lord's elect. So, in that regard, the church is invisible. But you can see her marks. And so, must you be where the gospel is rightly proclaimed and the sacraments are rightly administered? If you want to be among those whom the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith, then absolutely yes. Lutherans don't disagree with the Roman Catholic assertion that there is no salvation outside of the church. Narrowly and wrongly interpreted, some Roman Catholic theologians spin that to say that there's no salvation outside of the church that submits to the authority of the Pope. But that's not what that means. That is to say, there's no salvation outside of the Bride of Christ. There's no salvation outside of the place where Christ reigns as King. There's no salvation outside of Christ. It's all the same thing. There's no salvation apart from Christ's Word and His sacraments, the means by which He delivers faith and the forgiveness of sins, and the way in which He gathers all of His elect together throughout time and throughout space. It is the church that the Spirit keeps with Jesus Christ. And it is in this Christian church, through means, where the Holy Spirit daily and richly forgives your sins and the sins of all believers, the Creed teaches you to say. So if you want forgiveness, if you want salvation, then absolutely, you must not simply go to church, but you must be the church. You must be part of the Lord's holy, chosen bride if you want to be those whom the Holy Spirit daily and richly delivers the Lord's gift of forgiveness to. The forgiveness, right, which is the currency of the church. Jesus, as the gospel reading for today says, on that day, that is the day when he rose from the dead, appears that evening to these 11 apostles in a locked upper room for fear of the Jews. He speaks his word of peace to them, and then he breathes on them and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain them, they are retained." He gives the Holy Spirit so that these men can give out his gift of forgiveness. It's why the church exists. She exists as the means by which sinners receive forgiveness. And they do in those visible marks of the church, in the gospel rightly proclaimed, in the sacraments rightly administered. Sinners have daily forgiveness of their sins. You have a whole lifetime of forgiveness delivered to you once and for all in the waters of holy baptism. You have a whole lifetime of forgiveness delivered to you every time your pastor speaks those words Jesus intends for you to hear, his "I forgive you" to you. You have a whole lifetime of forgiveness in every piece of bread which Jesus declares to be his body, in every sip of wine that Jesus declares to be his blood. You have the Spirit doing for you what you cannot do for yourself. Not only does he give you belief, but he keeps you enlightened by these means of grace. He keeps you as a part of the Lord's holy church. He preserves you in the true faith until he grants you the rest, the sleep of death, from which he will himself awake you on the day of the Lord Jesus' return. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. That's the final destination of forgiveness, is resurrection. Resurrection is guaranteed by the forgiveness that the Holy Spirit delivers to you day in and day out in His church by means of His Word and His sacraments. That He forgives your sins means that He will also raise your body from the dead. It is sin, after all, that afflicts you and is causing you to die. Only sinners die. But God, with His gift of forgiveness, the Holy Spirit in the Lord's church, as He daily and richly forgives your sins and the sins of all believers, is raising you from the death of sin and is guaranteeing the resurrection of your body on the day of the Lord Jesus' return. So what is the church? It's not a building. It's a people. It is, as the Creed says, the communion, the community of saints. All those whom the Lord declares to be holy, whom the Holy Spirit makes holy with His gift of forgiveness, whom the Spirit gathers around His means of grace so that He can daily and richly lavish on them the forgiveness of their sins that they need and depend on. How many churches are there then? One. One holy, set apart, Catholic, universal, apostolic, confessing and proclaiming the faith that Jesus delivered to His apostles. Christ has one bride, and all who have received and retained the gift of faith in Him are part of His one church, regardless of the precision of the confession of their faith. There is one true church, and it is the Lord Jesus' church. It is His holy bride, of which He has made you a member in the waters of holy baptism, and of which the Holy Spirit preserves you as a member wherever and whenever He exposes you to those means of grace, whereby He brought you in and with which He keeps you in the Lord's church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.